The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is the proof that a person has been born again? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. For today, we're going to take some questions from listeners just like you. And I got the great opportunity to sit down with Dr. Bob Wilkin and talk about a few questions that had come in from listeners. So let's get right to that discussion with me and Dr. Bob Wilkin. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Bob Wilkin with Lucas Kitchen coming from Longview, Texas. Welcome, Lucas.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be here on Grace in Focus.
I think you have a question there, Lucas. Is that right?
I do. So here's one, Bob, that I think would be a great point of discussion. A.W. says, do we need to believe that everyone who believes in Jesus has everlasting life to be born again, or we can just believe that someone in particular, for example, Bob, has eternal life to be born again? Now, I think we're probably going to need some explanation on what the actual question means. So what's your take on what the question is?
Okay,
asking?
What this person is basically asking is what a lot of Calvinists say. You know, a lot of Calvinists say, I know that anyone who, quote unquote, truly believes in Jesus has everlasting life and will never perish. I know they will persevere till the end of their life in faith and good works.
So I noticed you used a qualifier there, truly.
Right.
What do we mean by
right.
truly? What's
well,
going
what
on
they
there?
Say is faith, saving faith is unknowable. So I can't know I'm that person.
Yikes.
That's what the Calvinist says.
Okay.
What they say is I see secondary evidences that I'm that person.
Okay.
So what I do is I look at my works and say, am I on a trajectory that suggests I'm going to persevere?
Yeah.
But they all point out that since Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27 that he's not sure he's going to be approved, therefore they say we can't be sure we're going to be approved. Paul says he's not sure he's going to persevere. They can't be sure. Therefore, the Calvinist will say, I know somebody is eternally secure. I just don't know if that's me.
Yeah.
And the problem with that view is it does not believe John 3:16. John 3:16 says whoever believes in him, and that believing in him is not unknowable. And one of the reasons we know it is because in John 11, when he's talking to Martha, he asks her, do you believe this?
Yeah.
And she says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Which is, by the way, what the purpose statement in John's gospel says. Anybody who believes that
yeah.
has everlasting life. And the Lord does not rebuke Martha and go, wait a minute, you can't say I believe that.
Mm.
You should say, that would be presumptuous. I'm hoping I believe that. I'll find out when I die.
So you're saying Martha wasn't a good Calvinist.
No, she was not a good Calvinist. And Calvin himself, although his theology varied over the years, at one point in his spiritual life, he taught and believed that you had to believe that Jesus has saved me. And he italicized me.
Okay.
You had to believe that you were saved once and for all by faith in Jesus, you yourself.
Okay.
So if you believe generically that Jesus has saved Lucas or he saved Bob or he's saved mom or dad, well, that doesn't mean you're believing John 3:16, because John 3:16 goes beyond some generic mom, dad, whatever. It's whoever, and whoever includes me. In fact, I remember I was on staff for 1 year at First Baptist Dallas. Dr. W.A. Criswell was still the pastor. It was a lot of fun to be there. And I remember we used to sing this song, Whosoever Surely Meaneth Me. And I love singing that.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't whosoever surely meaneth somebody.
Yeah.
It was whosoever surely meaneth me.
Yeah. So it needs to move from the theoretical to the actual to the personal, really. I mean, that's what I need to believe is that I'm saved by Jesus, that I have eternal life.
Right.
Okay. So if I'm hearing you right, you're saying that it's possible to actually know that you have believed in Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you don't know, well, then you're not believing the testimony of God. Because in 1 John 5:9-13, he says, I've written these things that you may know that you have everlasting life.
Yeah.
And I believe that actually in the context, he's saying, I'm writing to you, believe that you may continue to know, because they were false teachers. 1 John makes it clear that we're trying to confuse them about eternal life. 1 John 2:24-26, They were trying to deceive them about eternal life. And so, yes, we can know and will know as long as we believe the testimony. And that's what 1 John 5:9-13 says. If we believe the testimony of God, great, then we have the witness within us. We have the testimony within us. But if we don't, we're calling God a liar.
You know, it reminds me, when I was a kid, I brought a question like this to my dad. You know, he had shown me John 3:16, and I was struggling with feeling, I don't know if I'm saved, I don't know if I've believed, I don't know all these things. He showed me that verse in 1 John, and then I took that and I went to a Bible study leader and asked more questions. And the answer my Bible study leader at the time gave me was really different. They said that the way that I could be maybe confident that I was saved was that it was a good sign that I was asking questions. I was like, are you kidding? Is that really how I'm going to determine my eternal destiny, by the fact that I'm curious about what? I mean, that curiosity is just not definite like belief is. And so one of the things I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on is, how is it, and I think this is something that your teaching is unique from a lot of teachers out there that I've heard, is you have a definite definition of, that's redundant, a definite definition of belief. And so maybe walk us through that. I know we've talked about it before on the show, but walk us through, you know, what is the definition of belief, and how do you know that you have it?
Well, all through Scripture, to believe is to be persuaded. It's to be convinced. Belief is never a matter of turning from our sins or promising to serve God, committing our lives to Christ. Yeah. Belief is always persuasion. So when Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? He's not asking her about her quiet time. He's not asking her about her devotional life or how much she prays or how obedient she is or is she on the right trajectory. He just wants to know, are you convinced that when I say I am the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die? Is that true? Do you believe that? And she says, yes. And that's true whether you're believing Jesus was born in Bethlehem, whether you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins, whether you believe Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, whether you believe Jesus ascended to heaven after 40 days, whether you believe he appeared to many people during those 40 days in post-resurrection appearances, whether you believe he's coming again. All of that is being convinced it's true.
Yeah. Well, so if somebody is wrestling with those kind of questions, because I hear those occasionally, they'll say something like, I don't know if I've believed. To me, if I'm hearing you right, it sounds like you're saying they need a solid definition of the word believe. It's not that they don't know they believe. They don't know what belief means in that context.
Right. That's a good point, Lucas. Here's the problem. Well over 90% of people in Christianity, not just Catholic and Orthodox, but 90% of the Protestants do not believe in justification by faith alone. They either straight up say it's not by faith alone, or among the Protestants who say it is by faith alone, they typically qualify faith such that it's no longer faith.
In fact,
they will go out of their way to say faith is not intellectual assent.
Okay.
That faith has an emotional component. It has a willful component, that I'm committing my will to the person of Christ. And there's an intellectual component where I believe certain truths. So they do say at least a little part of it is believing certain truths.
Yeah.
But some of it is a feeling, right? I have the right feeling. And then some of it has to do with a commitment, a determination to obey. And the problem with it is they really don't believe John 3:16. They really don't believe Ephesians 2:8-9.
Yeah.
They really don't believe Romans 3:21-31. They don't believe justification by faith alone. Have you ever heard the little ditty, we're saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, it means that you better be working or your destiny is in question, it seems like.
And so as a result, that obviously strips people of assurance.
Yeah.
Because you go, well, how do I know I have enough works?
Yeah.
How much is enough?
Yeah, where's the line?
And
what
happens if I stop?
I wonder if, so if I use the word belief, people generally seem to know what that means more. I feel like the word faith, which if I'm understanding right in the original language, is an equivalent of the word belief.
Right.
But the word faith in modern English gets overpacked with these things in a way that I feel like that word belief doesn't get packed with. Has that been your experience?
And yeah.
If so, why do you think that is?
Well, to some degree, Art Farstad, by the way, if you can look at faithalone.org, he had an article explaining that our language comes from both Anglo and Saxon. The Greek words are pistuo and pistis. So yeah. They both start with P-I-S-T in English. And they're cognates. That means they're basically the same root. They should be translated something like belief and believe.
Yeah.
But one of them's Anglo and one of them's Saxon.
I didn't
realize
that.
So that's why faith is faith and believe is
wow.
Because they're from two different languages that ultimately became Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah.
But yeah, the problem with it is ultimately that people just don't believe John 3:16.
Yeah.
And what I like to get them to see is, about 2 weeks ago, I guess, I debated Robert Sungenis, a Roman Catholic. And during the debate, we got to cross and examine each other. So I said, John 6:47, Jesus says, "He who believes in me has everlasting life." He goes, "Yeah, right." I said, "So do you believe in Jesus?" He says, "Yes, I believe in Jesus. In fact, I think I was using John 3:16." And so I said, "What do we know can never happen to you?" And he said, "Well, I don't know." And I said, "Well, it says we'll never perish. Isn't that true of you?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, that's true of me as long as I keep on believing and keep on working."
Mm.
And I said, "But that's not what the verse is." He said, "Oh, yeah, that's what it means."
Wow.
And I said, "What about has everlasting life? That's a present tense. So if you say you believe in him, don't you have everlasting life right now?" He says, "I do, but I can lose it."
Okay.
Well, how could it be
that
everlasting if you can lose it? Besides, he said, "Never perish." And he said, "Yeah, but that never perish is understood as you got to keep on keeping on."
Wow.
He even went on to say, remember in John 4 with the woman at the well, "One drink and you'll never thirst again."
Mm, yeah.
He said, "No, that's not true. You got to keep on drinking to keep your salvation."
Wow.
He actually graduated from Westminster Seminary and was a Protestant for a time. And his theology as a Catholic isn't far different from his theology when he was a Calvinist. It's similar.
Like there's these dividing lines, but a lot of them aren't that theological in nature because the theology can be very similar.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. And remember, keep grace in focus.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to have another special guest, Francis Mosier. So join us for that. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.